Radio Prague News.
The government has approved a set of priorities ahead of the upcoming EU summit on migration. A strike at Lufthansa has been affecting flights to Prague. And former Prime Minister Vladimir Špidla is to head a Czech-German work group. The Czech government has approved its mandate for the upcoming EU summit on migration to be held in Malta, making the protection of the European Union's external borders as well as agreements with Turkey and countries in Africa top priority. The news was revealed by the State Secretary for European Affairs, Tomáš Prouza. Leaders, including Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, are to take part in the two-day summit beginning Wednesday. Meanwhile, EU Interior Ministers meet on Monday to discuss greater cooperation on border protection and asylum procedure, as well as cooperation with Turkey. A strike by Lufthansa flight attendants continues on Monday and will affect more than 900 flights, including scheduled flights to Prague, this according to the Czech news agency. All four flights between Prague and Frankfurt have been scrapped. The Lufthansa Flight Attendants Union has not said for how long the strike action will continue, but there are reports it could run for several more days. Former Czech Prime Minister Vladimír Špidla will head a Czech-German working group with the task of bridging a growing divide between the Czech Republic and Germany over the EU's continuing migrant crisis, the Daily Litva Novina reports. According to the Daily, German diplomacy expressly asked for the nomination of the 64-year-old politician in the hope that he might blunt anti-immigration rhetoric by some Czech government members. Mr. Špidla was prime minister in 2002 to 2004 and the European Commissioner for Employment, Social Affairs and Equal Opportunities from 2004 to 2010. Although the Czech Republic and Germany enjoy strong economic ties, relations between the two countries are said to have suffered over differences on migrant quotas, which the Czech Republic opposes. The country's miners will be allowed to retire 5 years earlier than the rest of the working population, the government agreed at its cabinet meeting on Monday. The plan was put forward by the Ministry for Labour and Social Affairs. If passed into law, it will mean miners will be able to retire at the age of 58. The ministry tabulates that the total cost of the early retirement package will be an estimated 11.6 billion crowns until 2055, the estimated expiry date for brown coal mines in the country. In other news, the state prosecutors appealed a decision by the District Court of Prague 1 in October not to arbitrate a case against three members of the guerrilla art group Stohoven. The three had made international headlines earlier when they took down the presidential flag at Prague Castle. As part of the stunt, they replaced the flag with a pair of giant red underpants, symbolizing opposition to the head of state's policies and stance on Russia and China. Damage incurred largely to the roof of the castle was estimated at almost 100,000 crowns. The judge in the district court questioned the number tallied, and there was an apparent lack of evidence against the three charged. A new poll released by the STEM agency suggests that one-third of Czechs think that membership in NATO is more important than membership in the European Union. According to the poll, the country's membership in NATO has support from 69% of those asked. Around half of respondents ranked membership in the EU as equally important. Over the years, the importance of NATO for Czechs has grown steadily, polls have shown. The Czech Republic joined the European Union in 2004. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, 20% of Czechs think giving bribes is a normal part of life. Are Czechs ready to cash in on an export boom to Iran? And we have the roundup of the latest sports news. Later on in the program, we talk to the Italian ambassador to Prague, Mr. Aldo Amati. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Rooting out corruption has been a priority for governments right and left of centre ever since the fall of communism. Yet according to the results of a survey conducted by the CVVM agency, a full 20% of Czechs say giving bribes is a normal part of life. Daniela Lazarova has more.
The Czech Republic ranks 53rd out of 175 states on Transparency's Corruption Perception Index. In Europe, it is 25th out of 31 states, behind countries such as Poland and Hungary, but ahead of states such as Greece, Italy or Romania. Although in recent years it has slowly been moving up the ladder, corruption is still perceived as a major problem both by the government and the public. According to a Eurobarometer survey, 95% of Czechs believe that corruption is widespread in their country, and 80% of Czechs consider corruption the most important challenge to be addressed. Yet for a fifth of the population, slipping someone an envelope to speed up a procedure at a public institution, get their car serviced faster, or get better treatment in hospital is what they call a normal part of life. Under communism, envelopes were often the only way of getting hard-to-get products or services, and it takes time to root out old practices. What is surprising, however, is that a large number of those who consider bribery normal are young people. The head of the Czech branch of Transparency International, David Ondráčka, says that the assumption that the new generation will automatically be better and will have more integrity is simply wrong.
They are very much influenced by the culture, political culture, business culture. They see what their parents and friends are doing and how they often succeed by not, you know, fulfilling the rules. And I believe that this is something that is responsibility of everyone. We need to work more with the younger generation, and we need to be able to show them very practically where are the thin lines which should not be crossed, and that very often it's not only about written rules, but also about rules of ethics and morality.
Although the government's long-term anti-corruption strategy targets corruption at all levels, gradually narrowing the space for giving and accepting bribes, it is large-scale corruption that presents the biggest problem. According to a Eurobarometer business survey, 71% of Czech respondents, the highest percentage in the European Union, noted that corruption is a major obstacle for doing business. In recent years, firms got used to including bribes, mostly worth 10 to 16% of the price of the public contract, in the calculation of their costs. In 2011, the government's economic council, NERF, even produced an estimate alleging that firms paid 30 to 40 billion crowns in bribes a year. Changes to legislation, greater transparency in public tenders, and more controls have gradually started producing results. However, David Ondráčka of Transparency says that the fight against corruption will be a long and uphill struggle.
There is definitely a lot of things happening, a lot of initiatives, legislation, scandals. And I think we are in the middle of anti-corruption fight for the last 10-15 years. I'm not pessimistic. I hope that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we slowly progressing.
Transparency International's David Ondráčka, ending that report by Daniela Lazarová. Now, with the ending of current sanctions expected to come as soon as the start of next year, Iran is now the target for trade delegations and missions from around the world. The Czech Republic is no exception and, after a groundbreaking visit by the foreign minister, is now looking at the practical steps needed to exploit the opportunities when full two-way trade resumes. Chris Johnston has more.
Around 180 participants signed up for the conference Monday at the Czech Foreign Ministry over the export opportunities beckoning in Iran. The visit to the 80-million-strong, resource-rich country by Foreign Minister Lubomir Zaorálek in September was seen as a breakthrough in putting relations between Prague and Tehran on a better footing. Since then, the Czech Republic has been working on the basics of what is needed for full-blown bilateral trade and the sectors that are most likely to benefit from it. A new economic agreement between the countries and one offering investment protection for both sides announced some of the priorities that could be pushed through fairly quickly. Czech business sectors that look like they could most profit from an end to sanctions are engineering, energy and transport infrastructure, those offering hospital and other healthcare facilities to Iran's relatively backward services, and the food processing sector. Deputy Foreign Minister responsible for relations with non-European countries and economic diplomacy, Martin Klapa, was one of the key speakers at the conference. He believes that Czech firms can build on solid foundations in Iran.
Czech Republic, former Czechoslovakia, has diplomatic relations since 1925. So we are one of the countries which has the longest diplomatic relations with the country. Despite circumstances, the links and the name of the Czechoslovakian Czech Republic, like Škoda and Bata, are well known in the country. So I think that there was a lot of delivery in the past in machinery and the modernization of the Iranian economy. So we hope that we can share that value for the future.
One of the main questions, though, is whether Iran's economy, restricted for so long by foreign sanctions, will really be the bonanza for Western companies that it's being portrayed as. Without optimal oil and gas export earnings for many years, Iran's state and private coffers are not that full. So Deputy Minister Klapa says Czech companies should be cautious about how potential Iranian partners can finance deals.
And I think that timing of resourcing on the Iran side is an issue, and we will hope that because of the resources are a strong part of the Iranian economy, that it will be possible. And of course, it's a limitation which has to be also a part of the evaluation of the projects, and that's something which we suggest to take into account when the businesses are talking about the future contracts, to use all financial instruments to be on the safe side of the road.
With that in mind, Czech state advice, aid and safety nets for exporters are being readied. It was announced Monday that the Czech state export insurer, EGAP, is ready to boost its budget eightfold next year to 5.24 billion crowns for underwriting Czech exports to Iran.
Chris Johnston with that report. But now I'm joined in the studio by Dominic Yoon with the roundup of the latest sports news.
The Czech Republic's ice hockey team managed to secure their first win of the season with a 4-3 victory over Russia in Helsinki on Sunday, part of the 2015 Karjala tournament. Four teams, the Czech Republic, Sweden, Finland and Russia, took part in the 4-day six-match tournament. The Czech Republic lost its first two matches, going down 2-6 to Sweden and 1-2 to Finland. The team, under a new manager, Vladimir Vutek, and captained by Jakub Voráček, was forced into a penalty shootout after the match against Russia ended in a 3-3 draw after extra time. The winning penalty came by way of 25-year-old Jan Kovář. However, despite the win, the Czech Republic still came out at the bottom of the table of the four contenders with 2 points. Russia was in third place with 4 points, while Sweden and Finland both secured 6 points. Speaking to Czech radio, trainer Vladimír Vutek said that the team continued to improve throughout the tournament.
Half of them were playing for the first time in this team, but we continued to improve with each match. And the guys increasingly understood the tactics we want to use, made fewer mistakes, and today I think we played very well.
Athlete Zuzana Hejnová, who won the Czech Republic's sole gold medal for the 400-metre hurdle race at the IAAF World Championships in Beijing back in August, has been named Czech Athlete of the Year by the Czech Athletic Association. Hejnová won the same award back in 2013, following a gold medal-winning 400-metre run at the World Championships in Moscow. The athlete managed to take a bronze medal at the 2012 Olympics. The award has now gone to a woman for 9 years in a row, with javelin thrower Barbora Špotáková having taken the top spot for 7 of these years. Czech tennis star Tomáš Berdych has slipped down by one place in the newest world rankings. Berdych, who previously occupied 5th place in the ATP table, is now at 6th place with 4,620 points for the season. He's the only Czech player in the men's top 20. Serbian Novak Djokovic dominates at number 1 with 15,285 points. Djokovic beat Berdych on Friday 7-6, 7-6 in a hard-fought quarter-final, later going on to win the competition with a victory over Brit Andy Murray. Berdych, who has never won a Grand Slam title, was a runner-up at Wimbledon in 2010, losing to Spain's Rafael Nadal. Meanwhile, women's top tennis player Petra Kvitova remains in sixth place in the WTA rankings, one place down from her lifetime high. Kvitova lost out to Pole Agnieszka Radwanska at the recent 2015 WTA finals in Singapore. The Czech player is joined in the women's top 20 by Lucia Šafrářová in eighth place and Karolina Plíšková in 13th. Petr Čech, described not long ago by Arsene Wenger, his manager at football club Arsenal, as the, quote, perfect goalkeeper, has prevented his team from going down in defeat against Tottenham. In Sunday's Premier League match at Arsenal's home Emirates Stadium in London, the 33-year-old Čech prevented two second-half attempts at goal by Christian Eriksen and Toby Alderweireld after conceding a goal to Harry Kane during the first 45 minutes. Kieran Gibbs's 77th-minute equaliser then enabled the Gunners to take home a point from the match. I'm Dominic Yoon, and that's the sports news.
Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. The Italian ambassador to the Czech Republic, Mr. Aldo Amati, took office in October of last year, having previously served in diplomatic posts in Moscow, London, Washington and Tokyo. Miroslav Krupička invited him to Radio Prague's studio to talk about his impressions of the country, his mission and his plans for the future. And he started by asking whether the ambassador was at all familiar with the city to which he was stationed.
Actually, I came to Prague in 1987, the first time. Of course, the atmosphere was much different. I was going to Moscow to study Russian at that time, but no, it's changed completely. I mean, and I must say, I've been sort of bewitched by Prague in the sense that I find this city is very, very welcoming for me. There are many, many, many different reasons. One, you know, I'm trying to learn this language because I'd like to stay here in Prague after my retirement as a diplomat. Second thing is that I like the art that really permeates this city. And I think there are many, many points in common with Italy in terms of art and culture.
Mm. You mean a common denominator with Italy?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's... when you walk these streets in Prague, sometimes you have impression, you know, with different kind of style, of course, and there's a lot of Baroque here. But if you go, for instance, into a city like Lecce in the south of Italy, you find a Baroque city as well. And so there are many remembrances that come into my mind while walking the streets of Prague.
Mm-hmm. Let's mention your mission here in Prague. What are the priorities of your mission?
As you probably know, you know, I'm going to have probably 4 year maximum of my staying here in Prague. And my main mission is a sort of economic mission. I was given a task also by your president when I went to the presidential palace. He asked me to promote more the economic bilateral relations, which I've been trying to do in the last year with different events and people coming from Italy, entrepreneurs, representatives of institutions and small and medium enterprises. So I do think since we don't have particular problems in the political situation between the two countries, that with the country growing at almost 5% a year, I have a duty to bring about here in the Czech Republic Italian enterprises that have been suffering from the austerity crisis in Italy.
And have you been successful?
So far, I'm not saying that is my contribution, but the export to this country in the 6 months of the 2015 has grown 10%, and probably because of the rapid growth of your economy. And maybe for a minimum amount, maybe I gave my contribution, but it's difficult to say, you know.
Okay. What are the major businesses that have been interested in Italy, that have been interested in investing in here, in this country?
Well, basically, you know, the The bilateral trade relationship between the two countries are more on the automotive, mechanics, and also Italian entrepreneurs buy those things from the Czech Republic. And what I found very much interest from the Czech side to have more technologically advanced cooperation with the Italian companies that deal with this in the same sectors, but also in the green economy and tourism also. It's another, because we have so many Italians, 300,000 coming every year, and I'd like to send them to different places in this country. And other sectors that come to mind, building, there will be an inflow of investments also because of European funds in infrastructures, and they would like, as an Italian company, would like to enter into this market as well.
Mm. Can you mention one good example of Italian, Czecho-Italian economical relationship? Or
I'd like to mention this. As you probably know, the Czech defense will have to buy newer helicopters to renew the Russian helicopters. And I'd love, the Italian company Augusta Westland to win the bid, because it would open a sea of cooperation, industrial cooperation between the two countries, not only about the helicopters, but it would be a much larger scope in industrial terms.
Now about culture, you do a lot. I mean, you, the embassy and the Italian Cultural Institute, you do a lot to promote Italian culture in this country. I actually go to see many concerts and many exhibitions that you organize. You do a very good job, I think. What else do you do to promote Italy in this country, culturally?
What you said is very true in Prague, but I think we should do more outside Prague. Unfortunately, our presence... I've been traveling this country in the last year, going to different regions, and some governors and mayors in different cities asked me to do something more about bringing culture to different Czech cities, which I'm trying to do with our director of the Institute of Culture, Mr. Schola. And I think in the next 3 years, I want to bring more productions coming from Italy to different cities like Brno, Ostrava, Pilsen, main cities at the beginning, and maybe, even to smaller ones. And then, of course, music. Music is going to be it's always been very important between the two countries. I'm bringing La Scala, the Philharmonic of the La Scala next year, on the middle of April. So it's going to be a big event, and I'd like to build around this event other events, cultural events all over Czech Republic. I have to work on this.
Well, it sounds good. Good luck. You touched upon tourism already. You said there are 300,000 Italians coming to this country each year. There are even more Czechs visiting Italy. Italy is quite popular. I think it's on the second place in the foreign destinations among the Czech tourists. I think it works very well. Italy is very popular. Is there a room for improvement? Do you do anything to promote tourism?
Yeah, I think we have to improve tourism, because once I have many cases of Italians coming to Prague different times, and I think it would be advisable for them to also to go to other beautiful treasures that you have in your country, like Olomouc or Chemsky Krumlov or Marianske Lajne, Karlovy Vary, so many places not to mention all the castles that you have. So there are so many beautiful places that I think Italian public opinion is not aware of these beauties that you have. So I'm doing my best also with the tourist agency here in in the Czech Republic in order to send them to these places. At the same time, of course, I think also the Czech people that are growing even in their incomes, that they have more incomes, they should go to small places in Italy. Not that you don't have to go to Florence, Rome, or Venice, but there are some jewels like Mantova, Perugia, Lecce, Pisa, so other beautiful places that should be seen. And there are, I think, the real strength of Italian economy. Not to mention that if you want to eat the best food in Italy, probably it's in the provinces.
Mm-hmm. We can see in this country a growing interest in the Mediterranean lifestyle. You know, a lot of people eating olives, eating pasta. Aperol Spritz is very popular, as you may have noticed. 3 years ago, there was none. It just happened, and there's a lot of Italian drinks, Prosecco, etc. There are more and more Italian restaurants, as you may know, and cafes in Prague. How do you see this? Are you happy about it?
Very happy, very happy. I must say that my experience also before, I was coming from Rome to Prague, but before that I was in Tokyo and I saw the same phenomenon, you know, that Italian and Japanese food probably are the most popular food all over the world. Probably because the ingredients that we use are very simple, and the result using those ingredients are very satisfactory, also in terms of health. And the Mediterranean diet is considered one of the best. So probably that's... And I see a lot of Italian restaurants springing up here in Prague. I don't know much about Brno and Ostrava, but I saw quite a few of them as well there.
Do you have a favorite restaurant here in Prague?
Yeah, I don't know whether to advertise somebody. I because maybe you have a couple of restaurants that are the best in terms of quality, but the price sometimes is a bit too much for Czech pockets. But there are quite a number of average but very good Italian food that I would consider before, you know, getting to the top.
And are they 100% Italian, or is it a Czech Italian management?
Usually the ones I'm talking about, either the Italian cook or the owner is Italian, but there are many, many Czech people working on that and adopting the same language in terms of food with the owners or the cook.
And my final question, what do you do in your free time? What kind of hobbies do you have? Do you go in for sports? Are you a sportsman, or do you go for walks, or do you travel?
Well, actually, my favorite is tennis. Whenever I have some time, I play tennis. But I also like walking. As I said, I love Prague streets, especially around the embassy in Prague 1. And there are many other hobbies like reading or I started golf. Here in the Czech Republic, I realized that it's less expensive than in Italy, and it's you have many, many golf clubs. But unfortunately, I don't have much time to play golf, and I'm very much a beginner. So, but really, I love to go to the theater here, to listen to music, to jazz concerts. I love jazz concerts. So, there are many, many occasions for my hobbies here.
Well, Ambassador, thanks very much for the interview.
Thank you so much. Nascoldano.
The Italian ambassador to the Czech Republic, Mr. Aldo Amati, was Miroslav Grubička's guest for that edition of One on One. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Frankova. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.